Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. Hour 2 of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you missed hour 1, go back and listen on demand. It's on the website, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Or you can just subscribe to the podcast. We're in all the places. Spotify, iHeartRadio, and
A heart radio,
boy. And you can go back and listen to all of it. And then in hour 3, you can listen to Bogman and Sinopolis. Milo Asimopoulos. Blaze Milo Sinopolopoulos. They're going to talk college fantasy football. Do you watch Stranger Things?
No.
Was that a hot button issue
for
you?
It's on the list. Like, I just haven't done it. So, to be honest, what we're doing right now, we have recording so much to do. I just mean this time of year. You know, and I are doing takeaways. We've got 2 baseballs a week, 2 footballs a week. Plus, we've got the Black Book Show with Joe. I've got you've got Prospect One. I've got 2 college football shows. We're doing so much. I like to put something on if there's no sports on in the background that's I've already seen again, so I'm not going to be mad if I miss it or anything. So that's why I haven't caught up on Stranger Things.
That's why you watch The Office 400 times.
Right, or Parks and Rec or Community or just something funny and stupid in the background so I don't have to, you know, be upset if I miss it
because
I'm concentrating on whatever I'm doing.
Do you have to binge or can you just put one in on a night and call one episode? Like you just said, you're like sitting there playing you're doodling a game on your phone and you're listening to podcasts. Like you can't put one episode in?
Well, see, I don't want to watch TV in my room. I don't have a television in my room for that specific. Like, I think the phone is bad enough. So I think I would stay up to watch stuff. Like when things end on cliffhangers, especially dramas like that or whatever, I'm like, well, maybe get one more in. You know, I always do that bit. So I don't want to do that bit. I want to watch something funny and stupid right now. Once, you know, baseball season ends and football season is in full thrust, then I'll start getting onto like shows I haven't seen.
Okay, I just wasn't sure like how you responded. I was like, "Oh, do you got like a thing?" It almost sounded like it was a thing.
I don't have a thing against it or anything, but like I tried watching season 1 before. I couldn't get through it because of, you know, I tried to do it whatever time of year it was, whether it was when baseball was firing up or preseason football, and I just, you know, stopped watching because I couldn't give it my all attention. I'm watching Community right now, which is why there's been so much Community shtick in the mocks.
Here's what I tell you is
the Greendale Human Beings, remember?
Yeah, I do. I did this on our last secret show, our comedy shows we do on Patreon, and I'll say it again. Delete Yahoo. Don't ever go to Yahoo. I'm just scrolling Yahoo. I had that nice tweet about like, I need some positive news in my life. And I go look and it's just like just the worst, most horrific news I've ever seen in my life. It's like 6 dogs ate a body for 3 months and person had a pole shoved through their head. And I was like, it's Yahoo.
God.
But in between there, I just happenstance scroll down. It goes, hey, this character from Stranger Things. And I go, I'm not done. They literally openly completely spoil what I'm assuming is supposed to be a big storyline in the, I'm like halfway through season 3 and it's, I know it's been out for like, a week or two or something like that, but still, I don't understand the need for them to go this, that if you read one line and it completely spoils something, why do we need to do that? Why does Yahoo have to, can't they just be like, the question that everybody left Stranger Things 3 with, is this person going to be back? Is this going to happen? Something like that. Don't say the name of characters and a storyline. And I was like, well, goddamn it, I haven't even finished this. Hate Yahoo. I hate them. They stink, and I hate them.
I don't know if I told you this, but this is a little preview. I got a little hate on Reddit.
Preview for what?
A preview for college fantasy football on the CFF Reddit. Did I tell you this or not?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So I'm on Reddit the other day, like I do, and there's a college fantasy football subreddit, you know, r/CFF. And one said podcasts. It said, what podcast do you listen to? I know that there's two, but Bogman's on both of them. And I'm just sick of hearing about how much he hates Yahoo. We get it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I responded nicely. I wasn't sure. Like, you know, I didn't go nuts or anything. I was just like, hey, man, I'm Bogman. Loud and clear on the Yahoo bashing. And I'm like, it's not really, you know, it's not a personal thing. It's not because he said, we get it that you get paid by Fantrax, but you can be professional. Like, basically, that was the thing. And I said, well, it's more about other things with Yahoo, like two Ohtanis and getting rid of a bunch of games. And, you know, they went in the CFF, but they kind of did it halfway with only half the teams. And, you know, so I have more issues than, you know, just working for Fantrax to be against Yahoo. So but I'm glad, like, I'm glad they have any form of CFF. You
so
know.
Did he respond?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, you know, I hope you didn't take offense. You know, it's just some constructive criticism and whatever, oh, you boy. Know.
Constructive criticism. Like, you know what constructive criticism is?
You don't like it at
no,
all.
No, but because it's not constructive. It's not sometimes constructive it at all. Constructive criticism is word, word, word. But, and then it's, I mean, all it is it is not constructive. It's just criticism. That all, it's like, I'm going to tell you something, but don't be offended. It's like, okay, well, I'm clearly going to be
already,
offended.
Yeah.
Like right, you yeah. just preface that because I'm going to be offended.
Right. So how would you like, if someone was to give you constructive criticism, which
block
I
them.
Would suggest don't,
no,
you know,
don't. I don't, like, cause I don't need it. I don't want to hear it. I'm my own worst critic. All the things that you think, I think much worse about myself. I don't need it.
All right. Well,
I mean,
just
maybe
we'll
they feel
on.
That I need it. I mean, so. I assume Bogman is like, you're like my mother in some respects. Like as I grew up, like all my mother would do is just not give me the, I mean, it's not the same way here, but like my mom would be like, hey, whatever I can do to not give you the information you probably need to be an adult. And, but what I'm getting at is she would just like keep things from me. Where you, because you're smart, I know you keep things from me, and it's probably there's probably a Reddit thread that's like Chris Welsh is the worst person.
Well,
in
I
fantasy
started
sports.
r/ I hate the Welsh, so
and you
I'm
called
actually,
it the Welch.
Yeah, I'm the moderator of it, so don't even worry about it. No, I mean, to be honest, there's not much that I would keep from you. Like, I would suggest that if you have a constructive criticism about any of our stuff, send it to me. Because I mean, I know how to work around it.
Go jump 10 feet into a pool and sit down there for a minute and say your constructive criticism.
I put weights
on your ankles also.
Well, do you think that's fair, though? I mean, I do bash Yahoo in every
you
single
do.
Action.
No, you do. I'll be honest with you. I mean, stick aside, like that would annoy me, what he said, especially because, like, the term of what he's doing is like, yeah, I know there's two, but Bogman's on both. So he's just straight out insulting you in that respect. But it's people have done much worse. People have done much worse. If his biggest complaint is the Yahoo thing, he could just be like, yeah, I know about those other two. I like them. I do hate the Yahoo bashing. Not like he soloed you out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but I'm the one that does it. No one else does it.
Yeah.
So but it's fine. Like, I to be honest.
So you guys are best friends.
This is also part of me being a robot. I don't get affected by stuff like that.
Yeah, no,
so
I think it's good.
It's, you know, I like when I saw it, I was like, is this really bad? And then I was like, well, is
you
it
felt
worth
the triggering happening?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
The triggering.
And then, well, I'll always give myself like a second to calm down, especially when it's something like online. Sure. You know what I mean? I don't have to immediately respond. You know, I can be like,
did anybody join in with the guy, by the way?
No, no. Well, one guy was like, he was like he said, Yahoo bashing aside, I don't know why the hell you'd want to use Yahoo. You know, so I was kind of like, oh, look at this guy.
I thought the story was going to go different. I thought he was going to be like, Yahoo bashing aside, I hate Bogman. I was be like, oh, boy.
That guy, I would have said something to. But I mean, I did have the one a while ago who the guy didn't even know who I was. He's like, someone was like, hey, are there any CFF podcasts? He's like, yeah, but unfortunately, the same guy's on both of them. So it can be repetitive. And I was like, all right.
Okay. Is it really repetitive? It's not repetitive. Completely different analysts are on there. Bogman just hosts it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what we did. Because we're doing rankings on both shows this week. I tried to stagger them, but, you know, screw ups in schedules both ways on our show at ITL and on Fantrax made it so that they have lined up. So we're both doing quarterbacks and running backs at the same time. But I do my rankings on ITL show, and then it's John and Justin's on Fantrax.
I mean, we had the same thing, but we're pretty cognizant about it, when we do the Fantasy Black Book, it can line up with our baseball or football shows.
Right.
But it gives us actually an active conversation to avoid the same subject. So we can,
exactly.
But there'll be intertwining stuff. So, well, good.
So anyway,
for you, man, for not.
People were constructively criticizing me on
Sounds
Reddit.
Very constructive.
And well, I mean, I made both John and Justin laugh because we were kind of up against it on our schedule this week. And I'm like, and I didn't even get to push Fantrax down your throat and tell you how much Yahoo sucks. And they both laughed really hard.
That's pretty funny.
But
you're going to be all cognizant. You're going to be like, ooh, I just bashed Yahoo.
I don't care.
That guy's listening.
They're still half-assing.
You should bash that guy.
Yeah, I'm not. It's whatever. The guy said what he had to say. And if I go by the Welsh radio logic on that, if one guy says that, that means 900,000 people are thinking it.
That's radio.
That's the That's radio.
That's
yeah.
True. One person represents a very large majority. It's apt. That is the if you want to get in really
it's the
inside radio
trope. That's terrible.
Well, you want to get into the old diaries and PPM. You know, PPM is a measuring system in radio. Literally. They take in the Phoenix metro area, about 3,500 people are rated in their listening habits, and that dictates the full rating system for the entire Phoenix metro area, which
don't
is
you think that's a bit ridiculous?
It is, dude, it's the most ridiculous thing on the planet. That's what I'm like, but because it's old logic, but it's true logic where like, you know, if you get one person can represent a couple hundred people.
It depends. I'm sure someone else is thinking it, so I'll be cognizant of it. I'm still going to blast Yahoo, but I'm not going to spend 5 minutes doing it.
Can you believe that, by the way? Like, literally, in radio, PPM, Phoenix Metro, multi-million people. I don't know how many million people are in Metro Phoenix.
1.7 million.
Okay. They are the entire media landscape in radio is judged by 3,500 people who have these meters, and that dictates what agencies pay. People make their living and their money off of 3,500 people's voting, and that ends up dictating this entire system. And that's just how the small minority always represents the macro in every aspect. And some of it's real, some of it's not, but that's why I'll get up in arms a little bit. Or I take heed when, you know, I see something pop up a couple times. There's always one loser out there, but there's a couple people saying the same thing. So if you hear a couple more Yahoos, then you might be really Yahooing it up a bit.
Yeah, yeah, and I get it. And I'll calm it down or whatever. But I'm still gonna take a pot shot.
What I would like is for
which is what you just did too. This is why we're on the subject is because you're talking about the spoilers that Yahoo's doing.
Yeah, yeah, they're the worst. By the way, you make sure to bash Yahoo in the third hour. So there's a third show that is talked about college fantasy football that you bash. You should you know what? Start a new podcast. Another college fantasy football podcast.
It's just
podcast?
Called I Hate Yahoo College Fantasy Football.
Yeah, exactly. And make it on Yahoo. Make it a Yahoo brand.
Look, they improved a lot over the last year. I'll give them that because they actually have real rankings up. Last year, it was just like, hey, these are guys. And here they are now.
What would happen if you started an account on Podbean and you just titled your show The Yahoo College Fantasy Football Show? Would you get sued?
I don't know if you get sued,
I think it's legal.
I to be honest, I have no idea, but I also have no intention. I have enough websites that we'll never use on GoDaddy.
Yeah, that's true. We keep buying. Can I? You know what? Now we've only got 2 minutes here, and I want to talk about this trade. But now I'm curious about something. So let's not jump into the trade just yet. Let's do the next segment. Who, if you could? Okay, let me start here. Can you identify the most bashed fantasy analyst on Reddit in any sport. Like, when I say that, is there somebody that pops up?
Matthew Berry.
See, that's so easy, though, for people.
But it is. Yeah, I mean, that's just what
and
it
I'll
is.
Bet you if I were to say, okay, not Matthew Berry, you go Brad Evans.
I just don't pay attention that much to the Reddit thread on fantasy football.
Okay, so secondary
like,
part
it's more it. About Reddit gets like religious about a person. That's like how Dylan Lurch got his start. You remember Lurch?
Yeah.
Right. So
what's quick on the draw.
Yeah. Yeah, quick on the draw. He was, you know, he would put out his defensive rankings every single week, and it was just like he was like Jesus to those guys. I mean, they're like, where are his rankings?
Okay, so let me ask this one then. Who is any sport? Because I don't go on Reddit. I go on Reddit, but it's only a few subreddits that I frequent. Who is the surprise fantasy person that gets hate that pops up? If you can think of one.
It's not a person, but it's Roto World blurbs.
Really?
Yes. And here's the reason is because for whatever reason, people on Reddit like to not use logic, right? Different sure. people write the blurbs on Roto World. So there has been.
And they run shifts. We got buddies that work over there, like especially the basketball. Like they'll go in shifts and one person will write for like 4 hours and then a new person jumps in and has it. And that's how they do kind of the whole thing.
So sometimes you'll get, you know, whoever it is will write a blurb about a player they like, and they'll say, this is a good guy for the end of the bench. And then, you know, a day or two later, when the guy is getting a blurb written up about him again, leave him on the waiver wire. You know, it's something of that nature. So you'll get differing opinions on there. And to be honest, I think to curb that, maybe they should start putting the analyst's name on the blurbs they're writing. But, you know. That's what I've heard is Roto World's blurbs is so dumb because they always offer you different information or whatever. So
I think they want you to kind of think they're bigger than, you know, than they're not, you know, than they are. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
I think they want it to be a bigger scope. Like there's like all these people. In reality, it's usually one. Maybe football, they have a couple. So
yeah, it's not the blurb machine.
No, it's not. All right. Don't go anywhere, guys, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the big trade, another one that shook the NBA. So we'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
If you are serious about fantasy football, it's never too early to start preparing for the 2019 season. We're doing it in the last segment. And Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY, the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com.
Boom. A+.
Boom. Somebody
you made that read your bitch.
Somebody screamed no hitter in the seventh while I was in there. Because I started going and I was like, we're doing this. And then I heard someone scream no hitter and everyone's like, why'd you do that? And then when I was getting to like, because there's a line in this script I usually always change where it goes, and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty and I fix it.
I like when you stumbled over it when you weren't doing the live read.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But like that line stumbles me a little bit and I didn't let it stumble me. That was an A+ read. That was one for the books.
I mean, that's a walk-off homer right there.
That was a walk-off homer. So. That was a no-hitter. Probably wasn't a perfect game, but it was pretty good. I'm proud of that.
Almost as good as the trade my Rockets did.
Yeah, I needed a win too. Yeah, actually. So on Thursday, I'm getting my head straight here. I was actually on, I was on the backfields of the Kansas City Royals AZL. It's really their training facility, spring training facility out here in Arizona. It's in Surprise. And I'm walking around there, and actually I had a call with, I was talking with Cardano from FNTSY, and I get off and I'm just perusing the backfields, waiting to watch a little Bobby Witt Jr. and, you know, just get some baseball in 117 degree weather. It was gorgeous, Bachman. Oh,
yeah.
So
yeah. It's so great out here.
So great. And
I'm definitely not nervous waiting for my power bill. So,
oh my God, dude. I mean, I was talking to you, like, I don't know if it's so hot or there's something going on with my air conditioning at this point. Like, I feel like something might be happening to my air, but it might just be it's so hot. It's
I'm
just
going
never
to look right
on.
Now to see if they posted it, because yesterday they hadn't posted it.
I want to know what it looks like. It's 117 degrees out, if people want reference in Arizona. Like, that's what
it
was.
Okay. It's way more than it usually is, but it's not unfair.
What is it usually?
Usually it's between $90 and $100.
Okay, and hold on. Okay. $200.
150.
Oh,
not horrible.
Me? You know how? Do you know how much my power bill is?
I live in a phone booth.
Okay, I'm just.
I
mean,
have a one bedroom apartment. Dude.
Okay, fair to relative size to size, and
yes.
Yeah, okay, I get what you're saying, but
how many bedrooms do you have?
Yeah, there's
That's why you live out in Buckeye, so you can have all them bedrooms.
Yeah, there's like five, but the master. Now there's 1, 2, 3. There's four, but the master has three in them. So it's technically like 6 or 7 or something.
Okay, so 6 and how much was yours? 600?
Oh no! I would have a heart attack if it was that. Mine is like it's like under 400.
Okay,
it's been
so
the
6
threes.
Rooms divided by 400, or whoops,
about 350. I don't know. I don't remember exactly. It might be 320.
You do equalizer though.
Yeah, I do equalizer. Yeah, you don't.
So yours would be.
I'd have like a $700 bill right now if I didn't.
Yours, it would be like $87.50 a room, basically.
Now what's yours?
$150
for one room.
Cents for
you have
one
more
room.
Than one room in your house.
No, I don't. I have one room.
You have a living room.
Yeah, but you have a living room too.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
I'm not counting your bedrooms. I'm just counting. Yeah, I'm not counting your living room and your kitchen and all that stuff, which is also bigger than mine, by the way. Yeah. So, my bill per person is way more.
Yeah,
is
that's
all
true.
I'm saying.
Watch this transition, Bogman. Well, it's getting hot in the NBA right now too.
Oh, speaking of A pluses.
Yep, the AC bill in the NBA is going to be high because. Oh yeah, so the story was so I'm out in the backfield and I call Bogman because I need to tell him something. Doesn't pick up, and then I get a text and he goes, "Holy S, blah blah blah. My mom's. I'll call you back." And I'm like. Okay, I'm like, I don't know why you're holy anything. What is going on? So, because I'm kind of back and forth. I'm talking to a few people there, waiting for the game to start, filming some stuff, and then finally you and I talk, and you go, "Oh man, were you calling me about the trade?" And I'm like, "No, what?" And then he goes, "Russell Westbrook traded to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul," and I'm like, "Shut up." He's like, "No," and I look, Russell Westbrook traded to the Houston Rockets to go join. Which I'm guessing is still his buddy, James Harden, former teammates in
Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, they're still good friends.
Are they? So, okay.
Yeah, so the thing here is everyone's and I had Dan Vespris on Takeaways yesterday, and his thing was, I get it if you're Houston because you get younger because Chris Paul's had injury stuff the last couple of years and throughout his career. But how is this going to work? Because now you have two ball dominant players, probably the most ball dominant players in the NBA, on the same team. So, and I think the biggest thing here is they're going to have to stagger them, right? So they will probably only be on the court together for like 10 to 15 minutes a night, but there is not going to be a minute that passes by where one of those guys is not on the court. So,
yeah.
It's going to be interesting. And you were like, "Well, you have to be elated." And I was like, I've never been a Westbrook fan. You've been the Westbrook fanboy between the two of us by a wide margin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for fantasy, though, it sucks. I think it knocks both Westbrook and Harden down.
Maybe. I mean, it has to knock them in, of course, in a keeper league we do, which we should restart that, by the way, because I own Harden and Westbrook. I own Harden
Let's get a restart on that one.
Restart that guy. yeah, from fantasy, it's not It's not great. I don't know how much it's going to affect, though. I am interested in it because this Houston Rockets team was able to alter the structure, and they didn't blow it up like we thought they would. Capella's not gone. Eric Gordon is not gone. And they've got the core of what they had last year, and all they did was replace Chris Paul with Russell Westbrook. And you have two absolutely dynamic scorers who, yes, they do want the ball in their hands, but between everybody else, I mean, there's an argument to be said here that it actually might not suck. It might suck for everybody else. We might see Capella have less of an impact than he's ever had. Eric Gordon might be a true just random game-to-game guy, and then they brought in and they signed Tyson Chandler. You know, the ultimate I-don't-need-to-do-anything-but-get-rebounds-and-blocks type of guy.
Did you see the big signing yesterday? Former number one overall pick, Anthony Bennett.
Speaking Houston of guys that Rockets. Don't need to score. Yeah, he doesn't even need to score. But I'm saying is there's an argument to be said that, sure, they both have to take a hit, but it might not be as massive as everybody thinks, and it could affect the rest of the guys. But you look at that roster, and now you've just implanted Russell Westbrook on it, and you add, like, Tyson Chandler. They've got more depth. They've got more playmakers. Chris Paul just he kind of floated around. He didn't fit. He wasn't a game changer, where Russell Westbrook and James Harden, those two absolutely separate the floor like nobody else. Between Russell Westbrook going inside the paint, driving the ball in isolation, to James Harden being able to, you know, I mean, essentially do the same thing, but with a perimeter game, it makes those two really, really scary. But we truly don't know who they're going to be anymore. For real basketball, I think it's exciting. For fantasy, it's maybe a little bit less than exciting, but I don't know. I mean, you got to be happy. I just figure you have to be happy about this.
Well, I do think that they got better, right? Because how can you not get better? I love Chris Paul. He's old, you know, and I think the main thing here is, and the reason that this trade came to fruition, there has to be, we've got some people saying that, James Harden and Chris Paul hate each other's guts, right? We have people saying that, but then we had many other reports saying, look, that's not the situation. Obviously they were fighting at the end of the year. You saw it on the sideline, and now they're just taking a break from each other. I think that it's somewhere in the middle. And I've said that the whole time. I think it's gray, or I don't think they hate each other, but I don't think that they're really happy with the result of the season. So Harden and Westbrook have stayed friends. You know, like, Harden didn't pick a side in the KD stuff at all. So he's remained friends with Russell Westbrook for, you know, the entirety of the time that he's been with the Rockets. And he's excited to play with his friend. It's just that Harden is such a different guy than, you know, he was a sixth man at Oklahoma City. And now he's an MVP. And so now you have two MVPs playing on the same team. How's it going to work? But I think it has to be better for locker room chemistry already, because if there is fighting between Harden and Paul or whatever it is, you know, they don't talk to each other anymore. They can still be professional and play, but it's got to be over with. So I think you get an improved locker and you get a little bit better at the position. I'm going to take it all day long. It's just, you know, now you really hope that Mike D'Antoni can figure it out. He's always been able to figure it out on offense and make pretty much everybody work, except for a broken Carmelo last year.
Did they keep everybody else? Is Tucker still there?
Tucker's still there. Yeah, everybody else is still there.
Capella, Gordon. They brought in Tyson Chandler.
Gerald Green's still there. I mean, they're looking to trade for Andre Iguodala at this second. Well, I mean, so we'll see if they get him.
That would be ridiculous. I mean, Iguodala and Tucker are just, you know, defensive masters in their own right. So I think the Rockets put themselves in a great position. Now you have this Chris Paul return that can't last, and Miami seems like the most obvious destination that everybody's talking about. Though I did think it was interesting that somebody was like Detroit, and I was like, no, like, you think Blake Griffin and Chris Paul are going to play together again? No, that ain't happening, man. I don't think that's happening. I don't see that whatsoever. I don't see Chris Paul playing with the Thunder. I don't think there's any reason that.
I think if Chris Paul got traded to Detroit, it would have to be for Blake Griffin, just as far as the contracts match up. Because
And that would come back to what I wanted before.
$41 million,
and that would come back to what I liked before.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you were talking about that with Westbrook. Yeah. I think this is still going to be Miami, and we talked about this on takeaways. I feel like Miami screwed this deal up. you know, if Westbrook is what they wanted, because they refused to give up Bam and they refused to give up Tyler Harrow or Hero or however you say his name, the guy that they just drafted. So
we can be heroes. Just
they said they said we're not giving up either one of those guys. We'll give you Winslow, we'll give you Gorin, and we'll give you picks. So, and the Thunder are doing this right, by the way. You know, I know that we've talked about this, and you didn't necessarily think, you know, picks were going to be enough.
I mean, they still only got Russell Westbrook, a 2024 and 2026 first, and then the right to swap over the next couple of years. Like,
but also remember, in 2022, high schoolers are back in the NBA draft. So
is that official?
Yes, there's no more one and done in the NBA or in college basketball after that. So high schoolers are back. So instantly
they're back.
The NBA draft gets deeper, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's smart to stagger these first round picks and get some later.
Well, and to your point, like with the Chris Paul thing, is they get a couple picks and the options that what this trade could essentially have done is they go and they trade Westbrook to Houston. They get these two picks, two options, and they come back to Miami and they say, all right, that trade offer that you wanted, we'll do that for Paul. We weren't doing that for Westbrook. So then they get that offer over there and they've got some extra acquisitions across the board. And then they bring on Winslow, who they keep. And then maybe they buy out Dragic, or maybe they hold on.
They can flip him for picks too to a contender at some point during the year.
Yeah.
So I think that they're Sam Presti's absolutely doing this right. They've got 8 first round picks in the last week. You know, they got 5 from the Clippers. They got 1 from the Nuggets for Jeremy Grant, and they got 2 back in this Westbrook deal. So they got 8 first round picks back. Plus, you know, they're probably going to get 2 more for Chris Paul. So that's 10. Plus whatever else they're going to get by trading off other pieces. I don't know that Steven Adams is tradable because his contract is pretty big, but I think it might be expiring either next season or the season after that. They'll get something in there for him. And, you know, they got a couple other pieces. You know, if someone wants to take on Dennis Schroeder's contract, something like that, they've got other pieces to move to make deals. So,
but do you think Paul is like a lock to go to Miami? I still sitting over here, by the way, and I'm like, what are the Knicks doing? Like, the Knicks, they're just not involved in anything. But at this point, all they care about is signing guys like Morris and Bobby Portis and every power forward they can.
I think that Chris Paul does not play a game with the Thunder. I don't know if it's Miami
for sure.
I don't know if it's Miami for sure, but it's not.
Who'd be the other option? I bet the Lakers would love to.
But they don't have cap space to get him. So, to be honest, I don't know. I'd have to sit and look, but I think Miami's the most obvious one as of right now because they were trying to get Westbrook, and it'd be nice to get. But how would that work? And I kind of said this to Dan, like, I feel like there's no gray area in a Jimmy Butler and CP3 relationship. Either they push each other and they make the playoffs because that team is so good now, they have two leaders that are working together, or game 6, there's a fist fight, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't understand that team. You know, I'll go back to another one. This would be if they want to really make a big movement. What about a team like the Bulls? You know?
Yeah,
Chris Dunn?
Yeah, I just don't know about the contract. Here's one we didn't think of. The Timberwolves, because Wiggins has a huge deal. You'd probably have to be Wiggins plus, but Wiggins plus, you know, maybe whoever else. Do they still have Jang? I can't remember if they got rid of him last year. But expiring contract. So how much is Wiggins and how much is Jang? Do you have that?
I can try to look here. Also, I've got one other team that would be interesting, just throwing this out here. What about Dallas? I mean, Dallas, Tim Hardaway's money is huge. But if you take Tim Hardaway and then you throw some picks in there and they want to get a whole bunch of picks, and you would have Paul, Doncic, Kristaps, Dwight Powell, Boban. I mean, that would be an interesting team. I'm on Yahoo or I'm on Roto World, and just like Reddit would be hating on the blurbs. Oh wait, here we go. Contract. Here we go. He is owed. This will be the 16. Jang is owed 16 this year, 17 next year. That is a huge amount.
I know.
And Wiggins is 27 this year, 29 next year, and 31 in 2021-22.
It'd have to be those guys because CP3 is 41 this year and 44 next year.
It would work.
So that's a possibility, too. To be honest, I think if you can get a bunch of picks back from the Wolves, I don't know. I don't know what picks they still own, though. So,
trade Wiggins, Jang, and maybe a couple picks to make that work.
Right, exactly. I think that's one that could work as well. So, because they were trying to get Russell, and trying to make that work. So, I think that's a definite possibility.
This league, man, that's what they say. This league is crazy in the NBA. So, NBA takeaways getting you through all the madness in the offseason. Bogman, myself, whenever I'm there, and we rock it out for you. All right, I'll go away. One more segment in hour two, one more segment for me. And then Bogman and, George Stephanopoulos are going to talk about some college fantasy football in the third hour. So don't go away. We'll be back. It's In This League.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams. Yes. Hot damn drain. Let's play some
In This League.
All right, welcome back. In This League on the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Long standing, too. I give Patreon some credit. We definitely get some. I assume there's a lot of just like automated emails and stuff like that, but we've been around for a while and we get some acknowledgement from them. They always are trying to get us to do stuff, like conferences and not like be a part of conferences, but they want to like hear from us and stuff like that because we've been there for a long time. We have been a staple of Patreon for, they were closing into 3 years. I don't know the exact number, 2.5, something like that. But a lot of people out there just freshly starting up Patreons and everyone's kind of grown into it. It's one of the few things that I would definitely say that you and I jumped in before the masses and we were able to create a pretty, pretty good solid count of people. And we've got a strong going there and we give a lot back. So if you guys want, this is it's not a fly by night thing. We got a whole bunch of stuff involved with it and 2.5+ years of us over on Patreon and a lot of people over 300, 350 or something like that. People that have been joining up with us and been around for a while. So come be a part of it. Lots and lots of perks and lots of extras and comedy shows and Bogman yelling about John Wick. It's like that old man yells at clouds. It's Bogman yells at John Wick or Keanu Reeves or whatever.
Well, I didn't want to see it, so I don't know what you expected.
I got to do Spider-Man. Spider-Man's coming up soon. Well, when you're not absolutely spoiling it like days after it aired on our podcast.
Oh, whatever. Podcast. I beeped it out. Get over
it's just
it.
Unbelievable. But you've just never done that, and you just openly are like, oh, yeah, that thing, the important thing right here. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it would have wrecked like the first 30 minutes. It's not that big a deal.
Did you know it's that fine. There's some... I didn't realize any of this, but like, so you know that Sony is essentially like just whatever, like renting or just like outing this to Marvel.
If this one doesn't make $1 billion, okay. Well, they get it back.
Ruin the whole story, but yeah, there you go. That's it. Bogman knows it. You knew the story.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to lead to.
Doesn't everybody know it?
No, I'd never heard of it until a day ago.
Listen, if I know it, I assume everybody knows it because I'm not
spoiling the story.
Like
I didn't even get to tell the lead up to the story. You're just like, oh yeah, the billion. Yeah, they got it. But yeah, apparently if they didn't make $1 billion on this movie.
Yeah, but that's so stupid. Like they're going to get so close to it. You don't think Marvel would spend the money to make sure they get to $1 billion.
Oh, you know what I mean? That campaign where they're like, well, we're going to re-release Endgame with like 5 minutes of undeleted scenes or deleted scenes.
They're gonna put Steven Spielberg and George Lucas in charge of it.
Whatever they did.
It's gonna be a random Star Wars character like just coming through in the middle.
But like they did that just to try to surpass Avatar or whatever. It's the number one grossing film. Did they do it? I didn't see any. I have no idea.
That's something I assumed you would know because you're the bigger Marvel nerd than I am.
Well, I mean, if I was like you, I would have spoiled it right at the top.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you're up on news. I'm proud of you. I didn't know you. Like, I literally saw this the other day, and I was like, oh, my God. If they don't make $1 billion, Sony would get control of the next Spider-Man movie was essentially the case. And I was like, oh, God,
probably
don't
just
do that.
Give it right back to Tobey Maguire, too, right? Oh. They would just do something terrible. Oh. They're like, here's Andrew Garfield, you know. So
who was worse? Was Andrew Garfield the worst Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think so.
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 3 is... I mean, it's horrific in everything that they did. The characters, Topher Grace's Venom, all that was horrific. And it was so bad.
I don't think I saw it, to be honest with you. I definitely didn't see it all the way through.
You should watch it. You should just do it for the purposes of, like, does this hold up? It does not. Everybody is horrific.
Why would I do that? You should go see how bad it is. Like, I won't even watch the good stuff.
But you don't ever do that? I do that sometimes. I'm like, does this hold up? And then I'm like, oh.
So this is what I'll do is, it's not if it holds up. I'll do the, is this as bad as I thought it was? And then, like, it'll have to be a couple years have gone by. You know what I mean? And then I watch it, I'm like, yeah, it is. It's just as bad as I thought it was.
But that's a kind of like you're predisposing yourself to it. Like, I'm interested to be like, oh, does this hold up? And then you can be pleasantly surprised, or you can go, oh, my God, I love this movie. And this is impossible to watch now.
I can tell you what, if I have to like pick one DVD, if it's Spider-Man 3 or Savages, I'm going to watch Spider-Man 3 for the rest of my life.
Savages is your Yahoo College Fantasy Football of movies.
Like, I mean, it makes like Yahoo College Fantasy Football comparative to Savages is Goodfellas.
I should watch it's Savages. Amazing. I've never watched it.
It's so terrible.
I want to watch it because you think it's so terrible.
It's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. Well, Spider-Man 3 is worth
it. Let me spoil something for you. It's not really anything in the story, but part of the story, they do a whole ending for like 20 minutes and then rewind it back to a spot and then do a different ending.
Oh,
that happens in that movie.
Like, do they do one of these? Like, do they end it and they go, did you really think we were going to end the movie like that?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's not how this story ends. Something like that. And they go all the way back. And I'm like, what? Oh,
that's the worst trope in movies. Did you guys really think we were going to end it like that? Nope.
Blake Lively's the best actor in this movie. Oh, that's man. Horrible.
That's being like Misha Barton.
She's very hot. She's very, very hot. I think, you know, Ryan Reynolds did a good job picking one there. But
isn't Negan in that movie, though?
I don't know.
Dean Morgan?
I don't remember him. So if he is. So I remember Blake Lively's in love with two dudes, of course. Wow. And Selma Hayek's in the movie. That's what I remember. And there's
Does
like
Feet
a
show up.
On. So, well, it's not directed by Quentin Tarantino. So.
Or written as my Saw 4 version.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see Margot Robbie's feet in the next Quentin Tarantino movie. So.
Oh, in whatever, Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
is that movie going to be super
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? I think
I'm going to love it, but I also think it's going to be one of those where we're like, didn't actually have a story. It was just like life. They filmed life.
It was just like, hey, look at all the people I can get in this movie because I'm Quentin Tarantino now.
Yeah. So well, that was called Hateful Eight. That's what that was called. I want to get your gauge. I want your instant reaction to this, Boggs.
Okay.
Yu Darvish struck out 8 batters over 6 innings in a 4-3 win on Friday.
Cy Young.
Back. You're back. You're in. Are you back?
No, I saw one walk. So I think, to be honest, bigger than the 8 strikeouts, because the strikeouts have pretty much stayed the same. They're down a little bit, but they're, I think it's still, isn't he still up over 9 or 10 per nine?
I'm not looking.
Check that out real quick. But the walks is the big thing, and that's what has been his bugaboo for the entire season, is his walks are over 4 per 9. So, you know, anything over 4, just make it 5 walks a game. That's too many walks. So especially when you're only lasting to the 5th inning in a lot of those games because you're walking so many and letting some come in.
10.4 K per 9 right now.
So that's fine. But what the walks last year and this year are the thing that have been horrific.
He was 4.73 walks per 9 last year, and he's down to 4.37. So it's a little bit down.
So, and also someone posted this in the group me room, the Welsh. It's Victor Carantini as his catcher. 44.2 innings, 3.83 ERA, a .99 WHIP, 33.1 K percentage, 7.3 walk percentage.
Sounds like John Lester and David Ross.
Non-Carantini. So any other catcher. 68.1 innings pitched, 4.61 ERA, 1.27 WHIP, higher K rate, K percentage, 35.4, but the walk rate jumps from 7.3 to 19.1%.
So essentially Contreras is what they're saying.
Yes.
Not Carantini, Contreras sucks.
Carantini needs to be catching for Yu Darvish.
Darvish dropped his ERA from 5.01 down to 4.7.
That's a good, I mean, six innings of what, one run ball or shutout ball?
Scoreless. 5.01 to 4.72 after this
outing.
It's
aggravating that he didn't get the win because I think he's 2-4 on the year and he keeps getting no decisions.
But like it's in our victory lap, take the L episode we did over on the baseball podcast, like you kind of dug your feet back into like, you're like, I'm not done with Darvish. And that has got to make anybody on the Darvish train feel fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had him in keeper leagues for a long time, and I'm just not willing to give him up. And it's a lot of the times just readjusting back after Tommy John surgery can take a pitcher a while. And hopefully this is where we're starting to see the beginning of it, where he is adjusting all the way back. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he is, but I have just not been willing to give him up because no one was going to offer me fair value for him. So
yeah, but fair value has become this relative term, though. Like fair value might be Marcus Stroman.
True. And I'm not willing to take Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, you're just not, but you're just not willing to eat. You're not willing to eat the value whatsoever.
I'm not
going to
eat over 50%, and he's dropped over 50% of his value, I would say, over the last two seasons.
Do you think he's a buy right now?
Yeah.
After that outing?
Of course.
Because that outing's not enough to make someone go, let me tell you something, man. You Darvish. No. If anything, the people that want off, they're like, this is my opportunity, and they're looking for someone that's going to buy, and you'd have to be that buyer.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely buy on Darvish right now, especially for someone that absolutely is all the way out. They're like, I don't know why I was doing this. Bogman's an idiot. I should have never listened to him.
Why does he talk about Yahoo so much?
Why does he talk about Yahoo so much? I don't want to play college fantasy football.
Please don't vote me.
Get this fat ass off the show. I'm done with him.
Downvote.
So, I mean, but I think I would buy back into Darvish, especially in redraft, because he's still going to be cheap even after this outing.
Aaron Boone told reporters on Friday's game that the Blue Jays, that was like a D minus.
Yeah, that's a D.
My brain just fried out.
You sound like me reading emails.
Aaron Boone essentially said that Giancarlo Stanton isn't close to returning to baseball activities. It is July 13th as you're listening to this. And there was this August 1st timeline. This bodes really bad for that. So much so that I think this pushes you more into mid-August. And, I mean, maybe he can be back if you're in, you know, head-to-head and you're in your playoffs. You might get him back in that range. But as I've said before, I wash my hands out on Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, I mean, this is not good news. So, I mean, I don't know what else there is to add to it. The only thing that I would say is, you know, Aaron Boone says this, but where is Stanton right now? Is he in New York just hanging out with the team, or is he out doing
No, I don't think he's usually when they haven't started any type of anything, they're going to stick around with the team. It is possible sometimes these guys, when they're close to something, they'll go down to their spring training facilities. You know what I mean? Like Danny Salazar.
They go on their rehab assignments.
Like Danny Salazar has been out forever. He was actually just hanging out here in the complex because there's trainers and stuff. He had his first outing in the AZL, and now he just on Thursday pitched in Akron. So Danny Salazar is actually like looming back into Cleveland here soon. But like Giancarlo Stanton.
Danny Salazar is the AJ Pollock of pitchers.
Yeah, but he also is like living here. Like Stanton's in a position where he's probably just traveling with the team. They'll do little things like, you know, so they can monitor him, wait till he can do something, you know, before a game, throw the ball, throw from 90 feet, stuff like that. And then they would send him down to the facility. Like those
Isn't
guys,
this an ab for him this time?
The what?
An ab, abductor.
Oh, he has so muscle. Many abs. I was just like, is this like an ab thing? You're like 12 pack?
I just can't remember what this injury is.
PCL sprain in his right knee.
Oh, that's right. PCL sprain. All right. Yeah. I mean, you would think that Stanton has dealt with so many of these that he would know how far off he is. You know, like, let's just get the word from him. Like, is it 4 weeks? Is it 5 weeks? I don't know. But no, it doesn't bode well.
But I don't think they know. Stanton. I mean, he said isn't close to baseball activities. Let's arbitrarily say isn't close. Sounds like what, 2 weeks? Oh, isn't it a month? I was going
to
say two weeks.
That sounds like a month to me.
But isn't close just me to even baseball activities. That would put you to, let's say, August 1st. And then he still has to start doing some activities and then go on a rehab stint. It's likely you don't see him post-September. I think there's a likelihood, unless you play up all the way to the end of the season, you might not see him for your fantasy playoffs whatsoever. I don't see
why they're
going to
baby him because they're going to be in the playoffs. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's if you can sell Stanton off, do it, but you can't. So, you know, just stick him on your injured list and hope he comes back at the end of the year for you.
Stanton or Darvish?
Yeah, Darvish. Darvish is playing. I mean, you know, you got to go with the guy that's playing. And when I was digging in on Stanton during the ITL show, we didn't even know he was going on the disabled list. They just removed him from the game. Like, I didn't know all of this
stuff.
Well,
we learned it partway through the episode.
I would still take Stanton over Pollock for the rest of the season.
Oh, my God. You're still putting that down?
So, you want to bet that Pollock gets hurt again?
You want to just bet stats? I sure. Get Pollock right now. You get Stanton for whenever he returns.
5x5, $10.
Yeah.
Done.
Let's do it.
Done.
All right.
And after Pollock gets hurt in his first game, you'll still beat me because he won't play any more games and neither will Stanton.
Yeah, and I'll win. So it'll be one run, a 125 average. Da, 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 da. Yeah, that's how that'll end up going. Last one, at least on the baseball front. Corey Kluber is nearing a bullpen session. He's been playing catch since the end of, I believe, last month. He's extended his throwing program from 135 to 150 feet. He's been out since May with a non-displaced fracture of his right ulna. I'm reading this from Roto World, and I'm doing it very well, too, by the way. And the conversation is that he could return around mid-August. So you're probably – actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he looms around out here because the AZL goes into August, that he might get maybe a start down here at the complex, might hang out, a couple rehab starts. So mid-August return, are you a buy on Corey Kluber speculation?
Hell yes. Hell yes.
I think you can get him low,
especially if you're – if you're in a head-to-head league, I would definitely buy him because it sounds like he's going to be back for your playoffs. And that's when you really want that edge in pitching. So I would absolutely buy on Corey Kluber right now. You know, because this is a fractured forearm. It's not any structural damage. He should come back, you know, and be the same guy that he was. Obviously, he's going to have to ramp up strength a little bit. But I think he's going to be fine. So I am very willing to buy in on Corey Kluber. What about, would you go Kluber or Darvish for the rest of the year?
Oh man, that's a kind of a tough one. I think I would go Darvish just because I'm going to get at least a month of Darvish production, and I'm kind of in on a second round turnaround. But I mean, when Kluber's here for a playoff run, that's a whole nother ball game. Especially if they were same cost, it would be Kluber. I just assume I have to pay quite a heavier price for Kluber, and that's a little bit of the problem. But I'm in with the buying. All right, I'm out of here. Bogman is going to be back with George Stephanopoulos for all of the college fantasy football conversation. Will be a good one, and Bogman's going to school you suckers. So make sure you check out the podcast for anything you missed. Bogman's got the other side right here and in this league.
See you, Welsh.